Will you join me in our opening prayer?
Almighty God, who of thy great mercy has gathered us into thy church, grant that we may so honor thee, both in spirit and in outward form, that thy name may be glorified, and we may be true members of thy living fellowship. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Children, come forward. I have something I would like to talk with you about at this time. Would you come? Good morning. How are you? How are you? Come on up here. Birthday yesterday. I bet you all know what that is, don't you? It's a flute, isn't it? Not exactly. It's a hammer. And it's a hammer that Virginia, my wife, used to tap things in when she taught the first grade. So this has a very long, industrious, and illustrious history. Now, this Friday is a special day. What is it? What?
Halloween.
It sure is. But it's also special for another reason, because a man by the name of Martin Luther, he was a preacher. He decided that the church as a whole was going in the wrong direction. So what he did was took out his hammer and he nailed to the door of his church 95 points that he thought his church as a whole were wrong. Oh my goodness. Now that was the 31st of October of 1517. That was a year or two ago, wasn't it? Well, it mattered so much, his nailing the 95 theses to the front door of the Wittenberg Church, that started what's called the Protestant Reformation. So not only is it Halloween, it's also Reformation Day because of what Martin Luther started. Now, Halloween is also interesting. Halloween is a tradition where you all dress up. What are you going to dress up as? A hamburger. What are you going to dress up as?
It'll be Carl from the movie Up.
What'd you say?
I'm going to be Carl from the movie Up.
Going to be Carl from the movie Up? You're going to be Carl. Okay. All right. That'll be fun. What are you going to dress up? Really? That'll be nice. What's he going to dress up?
Service guy.
He's a service guy. And what are you going to dress up as?
Service guy.
Well, now, a little bit about Halloween, because it goes way back, further than Martin Luther and further than Jesus Christ. Centuries before Jesus came to earth, people in England and Scotland, they were called Druids. Druids. And what they would do, among other things, they would have a night where the dead would come out of the earth and they would try to go back to their home. And they said, "You come and give me a trick, or I will a treat, or I will trick you." So here come these dead people. Sometimes you dress up as a scary ghost, don't you? Our son, when he was little, he dressed up as a computer. He went all over the place as a computer. Well, anyway, they would come and they would beat on the door, and you would either have to give them something or they would trick you. Is that something like what you all are used to? Trick or treat? You've heard that? That goes way back from a time before Jesus. So here we are, celebrating something that is weird in one sense. We've turned it into a good time, haven't we? But the third thing I wanted to tell you about is the next day, which is November the 1st. That's this coming Saturday. That is All Saints Day. All Saints Day is a special day in the church where all the saints of the church are remembered that don't have a special day. Can somebody tell me when St. Valentine's Day is? Have you ever heard of that one? Right, February the 14th. That's St. Valentine's Day. What about St. Patrick's Day? Anybody got that one?
It's in March.
March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Well, you've got these special days for the saints, but you've got a gazillion more saints besides the calendar, what the calendar can contain. So All Saints Day is the 1st of November. Now, here's something that's strange. The day before any day is called the eve or the evening, right? What's the day before Christmas called?
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve. So the day before All Hallows Day is All Hallows Eve, okay? All Hallows Eve is 31st of October. Now say it real fast. All Hallows Eve, All Hallows Eve, All Hallows Eve, Halloween. You see how that phrase turned into Halloween. So we've covered a lot this week. The Reformation, a Druid celebration of the dead, and All Hallows Day, and where we got All Hallows Eve or Halloween. Wow. Did you get all that? Yes, he did. Well, let's have our prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for this week, for all the significances this week brings to the history of the world, to our customs, and certainly in the church itself. Bless us and make us very well aware that many persons have gone before us and they've celebrated special times. May we hold in reverence the very important significance of the past and make the future a better place than how we found the present. Amen. And thank you all for coming. It's fun to notice that the children's address has larger and larger numbers in it of boys and girls, and it's a special time when this occurs. Now, you have a number of prayer concerns. They're listed in the bulletin. You've heard a very important day that we are celebrating, Pink Sunday, the awareness time for catching cancer early. We've already talked about that. We've celebrated the fact that early detection is so critical. And it has certainly made a difference in so many people's lives. This level of awareness that all of us are having, even to wearing pink. I think everybody's got pink on. There are little deals that you can put on if you haven't But I want you to know that I even have pink on my green stole. So I have arrived, right? Let's keep in mind that a lot of research is going on to deal with cancers in every form. And let's keep in prayer those persons who have had that terrible diagnosis that starts with a C, okay? Now let us bow in prayer. All praise and thanksgiving, O Lord, belong to you for this magnificent world in which you've placed each of us. We are so thankful that we come into the world with options that we can take, options that we can make, options that help us choose what happens to us. There's so many sometimes that we seem to work on automatic, and therefore, O Lord, we need your grace. We need your grace upon which to fall in case things don't go well for choices made or not made. So we celebrate most of all this day the presence of the Spirit of Jesus, which shows us that no matter what happens to us, that we are loved, and that since we are new creatures in Christ, each day is a new beginning. Each day we have opportunities to witness to your magnificence, to talk with others about what we have seen you do in the world around us. We confess, O Lord, that at times we simply haven't been aware of your presence. We've also taken you for granted. We haven't remembered you in prayers. We haven't acknowledged that you will help us with our choices. So make us ever mindful that there is much we can do in our prayer life to make differences. In our prayers of intercession, we pray for those listed in our bulletin. We pray for those persons recently bereaved. We pray for those who have medical projections, the diagnosis of which may be somewhat guarded. We pray for those who have to make decisions, decisions about life or even decisions about other persons' lives. We pray for the medical profession, for they make these kinds of decisions many times a day on occasion. Dear Lord, we pray for the church. There are always decisions to make and decisions that have been made which shape the faith of the faithful. So bless churches everywhere of every denomination. Bless the leadership of our churches. Bless the leadership of our country and our countries that represent others in distant lands. May all of us recognize in one language or one form or another that love is the way that will hold this world together. And love certainly does let the world go around in positive ways. Help us learn to love our enemies, to love those less fortunate than we, to love each other, and to love and to take care of ourselves. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And knows all the way you have trod.
comes a time in our worship service for the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. The ushers come forward, please. Accept, O Lord, this money, your tithes and our gifts to you and to your service. Use this money to fulfill our pledges in the community and throughout the world in mission and ministry. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture lesson for today is found in two places in our scriptures. First, from the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Habakkuk, and then from the New Testament, from the writings of St. Paul to his letter to the church at Rome. First of all, Habakkuk. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write this vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous shall live by faith. and then from Romans. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some of the harvest among you, as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. I want you to go back with me in time to the middle of the 15th century. That would be the 1400s. That was quite a century for change, for things happened in unbelievable rapidity. In 1450, of course, the printing press was invented by Johannes Gutenberg. Movable type could be set, and then you could have ink put on it, and you had the beginnings of not just leaflets that you could post for people to read, but also for books. 1450. And then 33 years later, you had in a very obscure village of northern Germany a person born by the name of Martin Luther. 9 years later, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and bumped right into North America. He didn't make it to India. All of these things were beginning to happen, plus it's a time of discovery. And people were questioning the belief that the earth was flat and that you dare not sail too far west or too far east. Why? You would fall off into the abyss. Because since the earth is flat, you've got to have edges. But there were some people who began to think, no, that's not exactly right. The earth is round, and I will prove it to you by sailing west to come east, to get the nice, wonderful things we love from India, the spices and everything else. That was the 1400s. But with all of this discovery, especially ships bringing back gold, you have a change in the politics of Europe. Nationalities began to get rich. And guess what? They could hire armies. They could build armies with money that were not faithful to Rome and the Roman Catholic Church. You had also the advent at this time, early 1500s, a man by the name of Giovanni de' Medici. He came from that very powerful Florentine family of the Medici. He came from them to become Pope, Pope Leo X. Now, he, being a Medici, liked to build things and spend money. So he was turning Rome into another Florence with all their splendid buildings and tremendous, tremendous arts, architecture, and sculpting. He decided he would like to have a church that would be built over the existing place. A smaller church was there. He wanted to tear it out and expand to build an amazing church over the tomb of St. Peter, the first pope. So he had himself a building project. But because of all of his other building projects, the treasury of the Vatican was a little thin. So he decided he would look into his theological doctrines handbook, and he found there was a really good way to make money to build his church in Rome. You see, the Roman Catholics still have a doctrine. It's called purgatory. And their belief is that when a person dies, they do not go to heaven or to hell, for that matter. They go to a place called purgatory. And there their sins are, should I say, burned off. They're judged. And your loved one and you yourself, should you die, you're stuck in purgatory until all of your sins are forgiven, burned away. You ask for forgiveness. There are many, many ways you can move from purgatory to heaven, or unfortunately to hell as well. But it's this middle ground of what happens to you right after you die. That's what Pope Leo X decided. This could make some money. So he had a building campaign. It went all over Europe. Now, a little background. Martin Luther, when he was a boy, he was absolutely scared to death in a thunderstorm. You talk about a come-to-Jesus thunderstorm, he was caught in it. Furthermore, he had a very overbearing father, and he likened his father's temper and his really and truly abuse toward Martin, he likened that to God of all things. So here this person is who has seen what Jesus wants of him, namely to become a priest. He starts studying for the priesthood in an Augustinian way of thinking. That's very important. St. Augustine used the thought patterns of the Greek philosopher Plato when it had to do with how you think of God. Keep that in mind. It matters later. So here we have in North Germany a monk, a professor at the University of Wittenberg. You have in Rome a very wealthy pope from the great banking family of the Medici. He is spending money like the federal government. If he can't get money, he prints it. But now he's needing more money. So now he delves into theology and he sets up a number of booths. Actually, it's on the back of a wagon, and he's selling what's called indulgences. Now, the indulgence went like this. If you pay a certain amount to the Pope's building program, he will pray for your loved one to jump from purgatory into heaven. Now think about the implications. Many people today as well have folks who have died, and you're questioning, am I going to be able to see Uncle Joe in heaven? He was a reprobate. Well, in that day and age, they had the same issue that they had to deal with. So there was a little jingle that one of the salesmen worked up. His name was Johannes Tetzel. He was a Dominican monk, and the Pope was also Dominican, which held their theological views from Aristotle different from the teacher of Aristotle, Plato. So they're coming at God, coming at Jesus, coming at theology from different points of view, and they will clash. For example, our present Pope, Pope Francis, is a Franciscan, the Order of St. Francis of Assisi. So you've got denominations in the Catholic Church, but they're called orders, and they think differently about life and about God. You had a major clash now between Plato and Aristotle, between Augustine and St. Francis, St. Thomas Aquinas, Dominican work. So they're going to differ on God. Now, Tetzel, had a jingle. He could pass for an excellent advertiser even in the 21st century. And he had a jingle that went like this. As soon as the coin in the coffer, that's a box, a money box about this big, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the loved one from purgatory springs. It's true. I can show you that in the German. I can show you the reactions of the people who just took all of their money they could find to get grandma out of purgatory. For Martin Luther, this was absolutely obscene. You were not saved by money to Pope Leo X's building program, and he found in Habakkuk, he found in St. Paul's letter to the church at Rome, that the righteous are saved by faith, not by works, not by what you can buy. This spurred the Protestant Reformation. This is why the 31st of October is so special, why we call this Reformation Sunday. Martin Luther was a giant. We just sung one of his songs. You get his reflection. A mighty fortress is our God. You get that understanding of God is so powerful. He not only wrote the words, he wrote the music that went with it. Long and the short of it, usually when the Pope and the Catholic Church had themselves as somebody that was not towing the line, they would invite them to come to Rome, where they would be on trial at a DIET, a D-I-E-T, looks like diet, but it's a DIET in German, and usually you would burn at the stake. Johannes Huss, in the 14th century, he was burned at the stake. When he was invited to Rome, now you've translated the Bible, we need to talk about this. So that was the tradition that Luther faced. I told you that the countries were getting stronger and that they had their own armies, and there was a man by the name of Frederick the Wise. He was the elector of Saxony, still an area in Germany today. And he did not want his popular theology professor to be toasted at the stake, if you get me. So he said, Luther, you stay put, I'll block the papal army if they try to get you. So now you have Rome coming and talking to Martin Luther. In 1521, the Diet of Worms, in English it looks like Diet of Worms. I thought that was the most interesting sort of diet for somebody to have. But it was a Diet of Worms. He was told, all right, these are your writings. It is not according to Dominican canon law. He's Augustinian, I told you. Do you recant? Do you say that you don't believe what you've written? May I think about it tonight? So he thought about it. They reconvened the next morning. He was asked, and he said, one of the most famous quotations you will ever see, here I stand, I can do no other, God help me. And that sealed his fate. He was excommunicated. Anybody that wanted to be faithful to Rome would catch him and kill him. So he's making himself a trip back to Saxony. He was given safe passage by Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, who was different from the Pope, but he had the army. Charles V let him go back. But on his way back, a whole bunch of brigands, they overtook his wagon train, captured him. They happened to be from Frederick the Wise. They caught him and put him in the Wartburg Castle. We have Wartburg up here to the north of us, named for that same place. So he was virtually a captive, hidden away. He grew a beard, had all kinds of weight issues because he gained a huge amount of weight. As a matter of fact, this man is so colorful that when he would drink his beer, that's right, Germans like their beer. Have you not heard? Yes. Most of the beer manufacturing people in this country throughout the world, too, are from Germany. Okay, he drinks his beer. It wasn't good beer, so he would say that the devil caused his beer to be bad. He also had these hallucinations that he would see the devil coming into his area as he was doing something so special for the church, and he would throw his inkwell at the devil. I understand you can go to Wartburg Castle today and see ink against the wall. I imagine the moderns have touched it up a little bit. But anyway, it was there because that's what he would do when the devil was approaching him. Luther, while he was in captivity, so to speak, at Wartburg Castle, did it for his own good. He translated from the Greek, the New Testament, into what's called Hochdeutsch, that is High German. And then by 1534, he had the entire German Bible translated, into German. So he made tremendous, tremendous contributions to the future of Christianity and for ordinary people to understand as they read, thanks to Johannes Gutenberg and the printing press, as they read for themselves the Bible. By grace are you saved through faith. Living in faith, especially for us Protestants, means that we don't have to check and see, oh, here's my checklist. Have I done everything that earns me a place in heaven? We don't go there. We know that if we repent of our sins and accept the grace of God, we are new creatures. Every day when we repent and accept it, sometimes we're in the middle of sin and we don't want to accept it, and we go back over it and go back over it and go back over it and go back over it. We can't let it go, and we don't let it let go of us. The free gift of salvation comes from God through faith. We've got to believe that when God promises it, it will come through. Now, salvation comes by faith. But when we accept that, we are so thankful, and with gratitude, we say, thanks, God. And then we look at what God wants. We go back into the Ten Commandments and say, that's what God wants. I'm so thankful that he's given me salvation. Because I'm so thankful, I will keep the Ten Commandments. Does that make sense? Keeping the Ten Commandments and right living is not what we Protestants do in order to get to heaven. Keeping the Ten Commandments is what we do because we have been given heaven. We go at it backwards. And that's why we live a moral life. It's because we want to say, thanks God for my salvation. I've repented. I've accepted Jesus. I'm a new person. And now because I'm new, I will live and do the things you want me to do. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Martin Luther said, watch out for church tradition. Watch out for church doctrine. Sola scriptura. That's Latin for only the Bible, only the scriptures. This is sufficient for salvation. Not the various doctrines and discussions of theology from the church. He went overboard. As a matter of fact, for the next century, people shattered Catholic things, statues, artwork, magnificent, beautiful things, simply because they're Catholic. That was too much. Wesley, in the 18th century, through his writings, you find it, he said there are four things that you need to work with after you have accepted the free gift of salvation. One is what you find in the Bible. A second one is, does this make sense? A third one is what you do find in the Christian tradition. And then fourthly, what's your experience been like of the faith? So with these things for Wesley of the 18th century, we are challenged to accept the salvation, a free gift, but to work it out with fear and trembling using those four guidelines so that we can indeed reflect our gratitude through the grace of God for salvation. And it started with that German monk. He married a nun after he was kicked out of the church. Her name was Katie. But he used an epithet or a nickname for Katie. It's a play on the German word meine Kette. A Kette in German is similar to Katie, Kette. But he called her my chain, Kette. Meine Kette, mine chain. That was Katie. So thank goodness for Martin Luther. We have much to learn for Reformation Sunday and for the free gift of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our concluding hymn is To God Be the Glory. It's number 98 in our hymnals and on the screen. We'll stand as we sing. There may be those who would like to ask for special prayer. Others, perhaps, who would like to profess their faith for the very first time in Jesus Christ and accept publicly the free gift of salvation. We invite you to come forward as well. We'll stand as we sing.
So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
in peace, in joy, and in thanksgiving, people of God, depart from this place of worship and our time together. Go forth and be a witness to the grace of God as you share the salvation freely given by righteous living and by witnessing to God's presence everywhere. Go in peace.
Go.